In just a few years, looking down at your hands is going to be a pretty telltale sign that you're using, like, completely obsolete technology.
Oh, definitely. It'll look like you're holding an antique.
Right. I mean, seriously, think about it for a second. For over a decade, our primary connection to the digital world has just been this glowing rectangle that we carry around in our pocket.
Yeah, the smartphone era.
Exactly. But today we're doing a deep dive into the exact devices that are, well, engineered to kill the smartphone screen forever. Welcome, by the way, to the learner listening in with us today.
It's a great topic to jump into.
It really is, because we are finally stepping out of that exhausting era of early spatial computing, you know, where you had to strap what basically felt like a 27-inch 4K desktop monitor to your
Yeah,
face,
just completely isolating
but
yourself.
with these massive ski goggles just to see a virtual screen. But now we're entering the era of everyday smart glasses, the official shift in 2026.
And the paradigm is just fundamentally flipped here. I mean, those early VR and AR headsets, like the old Meta Quest or the Apple Vision Pro, they relied on this sort of brute force immersion.
Which was heavy, literally
Oh,
heavy.
incredibly. They demanded massive computational power, but the cost was severe cervical fatigue, like literally straining your neck to wear them.
Not to mention just complete social isolation from whatever room you're actually standing in.
Exactly. The new approach, what we're seeing now, is entirely about integration instead of isolation.
So to understand how this transition actually happened and, you know, to find out if this new tech is actually functional or if it's just a bunch of marketing hype, we're diving into a hardcore hardware autopsy today.
Yeah, the source material on this one is fantastic.
It's so thorough. The teardown comes from the tech reviewers over at Tekin Garage. I mean, they literally took screwdrivers and soldering irons to the current smart glasses landscape to debug these devices from the inside out.
They really didn't hold back.
No, they didn't. Our mission today is to cut through the noise. We're going to look at the reigning market champion right now, the Ray-Ban Meta, and see how it holds up against some really aggressive new hardware from competitors, specifically Xiaomi and Rakuten.
It's a fascinating comparison. But before we tear into the circuit boards, we really need to understand the design philosophy that's driving all of these manufacturers right now.
Right, the core rule they're all following.
Exactly. Tekin Garage cites this golden rule from a hardware philosophy inspiration named Sabrina. And the rule states, if technology, exactly. So the strict unbending benchmark for this new 2026 generation of glasses is that they must stay under 50 grams.
50 grams, it's nothing.
It's incredibly light. The Ray-Ban Meta, for instance, weighs just 48 grams.
Which is basically the same as standard sunglasses.
Right. And achieving that requires just an extreme level of electronic miniaturization. I mean, engineers are taking multi-layered printed circuit boards, lithium-ion cells, directional open-ear speakers.
And didn't they fit a 5-microphone array in there too?
Yes, a 5-mic array. And they're forcing all of this into plastic temple arms that are barely thicker than a classic pair of Wayfarers.
It's an engineering miracle, honestly.
It really is. They aren't trying to replace your multi-monitor workstation
Yeah.
anymore. The goal now is to overlay an invisible data layer onto your daily physical life.
But I have to ask you, though, is this obsession with invisibility really just about fashion? Or is it, like, secretly a psychological trick?
What do you mean?
Well, if you make the device light enough and stylish enough, you essentially trick the user into completely forgetting they're wearing a constantly connected computer, right?
Oh, it's definitely heavily weighted toward the psychology. I
Yeah.
mean, by removing the physical friction, the heavy battery packs, the bulky lenses, getting those awkward stares from strangers.
Yeah, nobody likes the awkward stares.
Right. By removing all of that, you eliminate the cognitive friction. When you no longer literally feel the device sitting heavy on your face, the digital augmentation becomes basically a natural extension of your biology.
It stops being a gadget.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It ceases to be a tool you're actively operating and just becomes a passive part of how you perceive the world.
Which makes Mark Zuckerberg's strategy with the Ray-Ban Meta Gen 2 look, well, pretty brilliant in
Oh,
hindsight.
absolutely.
He didn't lock his software engineers in a lab and tell them to design a stylish frame from scratch. He partnered with EssilorLuxottica, this massive eyewear conglomerate, to build a premium, fashionable pair of sunglasses first.
And then he just crammed a wearable gadget inside of them.
Exactly. And it secured their position as the market leader. But as the Tekin Garage teardown reveals, once you strip away that stylish exterior and analyze the actual performance under the hood, it's a very complex story of compromises.
Yeah, the engineering tells a slightly different story than the marketing.
Let's start with what actually works well, though. Tucked away in the corner of the frame is a 12-megapixel ultra-wide camera. Now, if you're used to the, I don't know, 48-megapixel sensor on your phone, 12 megapixels sounds like a major step backward.
It does sound low on paper.
Right. But raw pixel count isn't really the point here, is it?
No, not at all. It's all about how the data is processed. The lens is backed by an image signal processor, or an ISP, which is located right inside the Snapdragon AR1 Gen 1 chip.
Okay.
And this system isn't designed for capturing sweeping cinematic landscape photography. It's heavily calibrated specifically for point-of-view video.
So, like cooking or driving?
Exactly. When you're cooking a meal, driving your car, or standing in the front row of a concert, the lens captures the perspective exactly as human vision experiences it.
But human vision is naturally jerky, right? I mean, our heads are constantly making these tiny, rapid micro movements. If you strap a standard GoPro to your head and just walk down the street, the footage is usually nauseating to watch.
Oh, it's unwatchable. And that's exactly where Meta steps in with their electronic image stabilization, or EIS.
How does that work in real time?
The algorithm aggressively crops and aligns the frames as you're shooting. So it effectively acts as a digital gimbal. It filters out those sudden head jitters to produce really smooth, watchable video.
That's pretty impressive. But, you know, one thing a lot of people worry about when they hear the phrase camera glasses is public surveillance.
Oh, the creep factor. For sure.
Right. The idea of someone secretly recording you on the subway is incredibly creepy. But the teardown highlighted this hardware-level security patch that I just found totally fascinating.
Yeah, the privacy LED. There's a high-luminance LED situated right next to the camera lens.
Okay.
And the microsecond the camera begins recording, that LED fires up, making it super obvious to anyone looking at you that you're filming.
But my first thought, and probably a bad actor's first instinct, is just to put a tiny piece of black electrical tape over the light.
Which people definitely tried with older tech.
Yeah.
But Meta anticipated that. The brilliance here is that the privacy feature isn't controlled by software.
Because software can be hacked.
Exactly. Software can be bypassed.
Yeah.
Instead, the LED circuit is physically hardwired into the camera's power delivery path.
Wait, really? Physically hardwired?
Yes. So if you cover the LED, there's an adjacent ambient light sensor that detects the sudden artificial drop in luminance.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the way the circuit is physically built, that drop in light instantly severs the voltage going to the camera.
Oh, wow. So it just cuts the power entirely.
Right. It's a physical electrical physics rule. You simply cannot power the lens if the light is obstructed.
That's actually a really clever way to build trust. And that camera is doing a whole lot more than just recording POV clips for social media, right?
Oh, much more. Through firmware updates, the device runs multimodal AI.
Which means it can see.
Exactly.
Hmm.
This system literally sees through the lens in real time. So you could be staring at a menu in some small cafe in Paris, and you just ask, hey, Meta, translate this and tell me which items are gluten-free.
It just knows.
Yeah. The camera feeds the visual data to the cloud, the AI processes it in fractions of a second, and the answer is whispered directly into your ear. You can look at a strange engine part under the hood of your car, or an exotic plant on a hike, and get an immediate botanical ID.
It essentially turns the glasses into this mobile intelligence terminal.
It does. However, and this is a big however, processing that visual data continuously while maintaining an active uplink to Meta's servers places a massive computational load on that tiny AR1 chip.
And this is where the tech and garage engineers really begin to expose the critical flaws of the reigning champ.
Yeah, the physical limitations catch up fast.
Wait, so if the processor is churning through 1440p video and running real-time AI simultaneously on a motherboard that small, where does all the heat go? The temple arm is resting directly against human skin.
And that is the exact problem. The thermal autopsy of the device shows that after just 15 minutes of uninterrupted multimodal AI and camera usage, the right temple, which is the one that houses the primary motherboard, just spikes in temperature.
Like dangerously hot.
It becomes uncomfortably hot to the touch, yes.
Which explains the most baffling limitation I saw in the source material. If you hit the shutter button to record a video, the system physically stops you at a maximum of 3 continuous minutes.
Yep.
You literally cannot record a video longer than that.
That limitation is a hard-coded emergency brake.
Mm.
And they implemented it for 2 very distinct physical reasons. First, it prevents the hardware from literally melting down or causing a first-degree burn on the user's face.
Wow. So it's basically thermal throttling to prevent a lawsuit.
Exactly. Pushing high-resolution video at 60 frames per second with that aggressive digital stabilization, it pushes the thermodynamics of that small plastic enclosure to its absolute absolute limit.
And what's the second reason for the 3-minute limit?
It's a massive storage bottleneck. The onboard storage is limited to 32 gigabytes.
Which is pretty small by today's standards.
Very small. And the flash memory utilizes a relatively slow write speed. So if you try to record a long, high-definition video, you would inevitably hit a buffer overflow.
Meaning the camera is just capturing the visual data way faster than the internal drive can permanently save it.
Right, so the operating system just cuts the feed before the buffer crashes completely.
So it's forced to throttle its own performance just to survive basic operations. That's crazy. And then there's the battery issue.
Oh, the battery.
Tucked into the left temple is this minuscule 154 milliamp hour lithium ion cell. If you are actively utilizing the AI features, running translations, snapping photos, the device dies in roughly 4 hours.
Less than 4 hours, usually.
So, if a $379 device runs dangerously hot in 15 minutes, refuses to record a video longer than a pop song, and the battery dies before you even take your lunch break.
It's tough to justify.
Right. It feels like a massive stretch to market this as an everyday cybernetic assistant. It's an expensive, albeit stylish, Instagram toy. I mean, if I have to constantly take them off to put them in a charging case, the entire illusion of seamless integration is just completely shattered.
It is. It creates a massive vulnerability in the market. A 4-hour battery life simply fails the fundamental use case of an everyday wearable.
And whenever the market leader leaves a bottleneck that obvious, a competitor is going to swoop in and exploit it.
Which is exactly what happened. The engineers over in Shenzhen, China, analyzed those specific thermal and battery limitations and developed a highly targeted strike.
Enter the Xiaomi Smart Glasses 2026.
The hardware assassin.
Exactly. Xiaomi priced this device aggressively at $278, which heavily undercuts Meta. But the real story is how they completely overhauled the internal architecture, right?
Yeah, the teardown details what Tech in Garage refers to as battery hack. Xiaomi just abandoned traditional battery technology entirely for this device.
Wait, so traditional lithium-ion batteries require liquid electrolytes to move the charge, right? And they need these bulky plastic separators inside the cell to keep the positive and negative sides from touching and short-circuiting.
That's right. It takes up a lot of physical space.
So if Xiaomi needed way more power to fix the battery life, how did they pull it off without making the glasses look incredibly chunky?
They utilize next-generation solid-state microbatteries.
Okay, solid-state. How does that differ?
Solid-state technology replaces that messy, bulky liquid electrolyte with a highly dense, solid conductive material. It's basically the difference between trying to pack a suitcase with loose, wrinkled clothes versus vacuum sealing them.
Oh, I love that analogy.
Yeah. By removing the wasted internal space, Xiaomi was able to pack layers of power microscopically close together. This drastically increased the energy capacity without expanding the physical footprint of the frames by a single millimeter.
That's incredible. And what's the end result on battery life?
You get 8.6 hours of continuous mixed usage.
8.6 hours. They basically more than doubled the battery life of the Ray-Bans while maintaining the exact same form factor.
Yep.
But wait, a bigger battery doesn't automatically solve the heat issue we talked about. If the processor is still working just as hard to record video and run AI, wouldn't the Xiaomi glasses just get hotter for a longer period of time?
You'd think so, but that leads to their second major innovation, which is thermal management. Xiaomi integrated a graphene heat dissipation system directly into the internal chassis.
Graphene?
Yeah, graphene is a single layer of carbon atoms arranged in a hexagonal lattice. It is literally one of the most thermally conductive materials ever discovered.
Okay, so how does it work inside the glasses?
It acts like an invisible, highly efficient highway for heat. It actively pulls the thermal energy away from the processor and disperses it evenly across the entire surface area of the frame.
So instead of a massive hotspot burning your right temple in 15 minutes, the heat is managed and vented seamlessly.
Exactly. And because they solved the thermodynamics, Xiaomi was able to completely shatter Meta's 3-minute video limit.
What's the new limit?
On the Xiaomi device, you can record up to 45 minutes of continuous 1440p video.
Wow. Okay, so if you're a vlogger or an IRL streamer who needs to walk around recording long stretches of footage, Xiaomi just basically handed you the ultimate primary weapon.
They really did. The hardware execution is undeniably superior. But while Xiaomi solved the physical meltdowns, it actually shares a massive glaring vulnerability with Meta on the software side.
Oh, right. The vendor lock-in?
Yes. both platforms suffer from severe vendor lock-in.
Right, because if you buy the Ray-Bans, you are living in Mark Zuckerberg's ecosystem. You are forced to use Meta AI, whether you like it or not.
And with Xiaomi, you're locked into their Xiao AI.
Exactly. And if Meta's AI model falls behind next year, your expensive glasses are instantly outdated. For power users, being trapped in a closed corporate walled garden is an absolute deal breaker.
It really is.
Yeah.
And that frustration is what sparked the next evolution in the teardown. A rebellion focused entirely on software freedom, led by a company called Rokid.
The Rokid AI glasses style. These retail for $299 and push the weight limit down even further to an ultralight 38.5 grams.
Which is almost suspiciously light.
Seriously. But the physical design isn't even their primary selling point. Their battleground is the operating system itself. Rokid utilizes a multi-LLM or large language model architecture.
Yeah, the source notes that Rokid gives the user root-level authority.
To translate that out of engineering speak for a second, if Meta is like buying an iPhone where you can only use Apple's tightly controlled software, Rokid is like buying a blank PC where you can install Windows, Linux, or whatever operating system you prefer.
That is an excellent analogy.
Hmm.
You are not forced to use a single corporate neural network. You are granted the authority to choose the digital brain powering your device.
Which is huge.
It's massive. If you're a software developer who needs advanced coding assistance or complex logical reasoning, you can just inject the GPT-5 API directly into the glasses.
And what if I don't need coding? What if I'm just traveling overseas?
Well, then you probably need hyper-fast, uncensored language translation with virtually zero latency. So you can just switch the system over to a highly efficient open-source model like DeepSeek.
Given that AI models are advancing so rapidly right now, isn't Rokid's bring-your-own-brain approach infinitely more future-proof than being stuck in Zuckerberg's walled garden?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
It elevates the device from a simple smart accessory to a highly customizable wearable workstation.
And Rokid pairs this software flexibility with this incredibly sophisticated acoustic design, too.
Because to make an AI assistant truly functional in the real world, it has to hear you perfectly.
Right.
And you have to hear it perfectly without it isolating you from your surroundings. They achieve this using directional microphones paired with really advanced noise cancellation algorithms.
Yeah, Tikan Garage mentions the Rokid glasses can isolate the voice of someone standing right in front of you, even if you are standing on a chaotic, noisy city street.
It basically acts as an acoustic spotlight. It filters out all the urban background noise, captures the specific voice in front of you, processes that audio through your chosen LLM for simultaneous translation.
And then it delivers the translated response to you using bone conduction speakers.
Yes, bone conduction.
I want to break down how bone conduction actually works for a second, because it just sounds like science fiction. Traditional earbuds push airwaves into your ear canal, which then vibrate your eardrum, right?
Exactly. But bone conduction bypasses the ear canal and the eardrum entirely.
Wait, entirely?
Completely. The acoustic transducer rests gently against your temporal bone, just in front of your ear. It sends micro vibrations directly through your skull and straight into your cochlea, the inner ear.
That is wild.
And your brain naturally translates those physical vibrations into crystal clear sound.
Which means your actual ears remain completely unplugged and open to the physical environment. You can hear traffic, you can hear people calling your name, but you also hear this perfectly crisp, translated voice inside your head.
It's a surreal experience at first.
And the teardown noted that Rokid's implementation of this actually outperforms the audio engineering from both Meta and Apple.
It is a remarkable achievement. But notice what Meta, Xiaomi, and Rokid all have in common so far.
They're audio-first interfaces.
Exactly. They are fundamentally audio-first.
And if you are listening to a deep dive about the future of smart glasses, you are probably wondering, when do we actually get to see the Matrix?
The visual overlay.
Right. When do the glowing digital overlays and WhatsApp notifications and navigation arrows start actually floating in our line of sight?
That introduces the domain of head-up display, or HUD, glasses. The source analyzes conceptual devices in this space, like the Brilliant Labs Frame and the Even Realities G2.
And this is where the engineering challenges escalate from just battery chemistry into the incredibly complex physics of optics and light manipulation.
Oh, it gets wildly complicated.
Yeah.
Because you can't just slap a tiny LCD television screen a millimeter in front of someone's pupil.
No, it would look absurd, and you wouldn't be able to see where you were walking. You'd be bumping into walls.
Exactly. To bypass those physical limitations, engineers rely on optical waveguides coupled with micro-LED projectors.
The teardown mentions these projectors are roughly the size of a single grain of rice. How in the world does a grain of rice project a massive digital display?
Well, the microscopic projector is completely concealed within the chassis of the temple arm. And instead of projecting light forward towards your eye, it actually fires high-intensity light sideways.
Sideways. Into the lens.
Right. Directly into the edge of the glass lens. And the lens itself isn't just standard glass. It's an optical waveguide. Injected inside the glass are these nanoscopic etched gratings. Think of them as millions of microscopic mirrors.
Okay, so the light enters the side of the lens, and these tiny mirrors catch it.
Yes. They bounce the light through the glass using total internal reflection, and then they angle it exactly 90 degrees outward, shooting it straight into your retina.
Wow. And the result just feels genuinely magical. You can be walking down the street and see luminous holograms of text messages or live translated subtitles hovering right under people's faces.
Or color-coded navigation arrows floating seamlessly on the sidewalk as you walk.
But, and there is a massive but here, the Tech and Garage autopsy warns that this visual technology is strictly in the beta phase.
It's riddled with bugs.
Big bugs. For starters, the resolution in 2026 is still highly constrained. Mm-hmm. And if you walk outside on a bright, sunny afternoon, those beautiful holograms just wash out and disappear entirely in the harsh sunlight.
Yeah, the luminance just can't compete with the sun yet.
The physiological bug they highlighted is what really caught my attention. It's called KICK.
Right. KECK. That stands for Convergence Accommodation Conflict.
Sounds painful.
It is, actually. It's a fundamental physiological clash between how optical waveguides project light and how human biology naturally operates.
How so?
Well, in the physical world, the muscles in your eye naturally shift focus depending on how far away an object is.
Yeah.
But with HUD glasses, your eye is constantly forced to rapidly shift its focal plane.
Because it has to focus on a digital hologram that appears to be mere inches from your face and then immediately shift to focus on a physical car that is 50 yards down the street.
Precisely. So your eye muscles are essentially running microscopic wind sprints all day long, constantly flexing back and forth between the digital layer and the physical layer.
And that constant, unnatural shifting causes severe ocular fatigue, massive headaches after even relatively short periods of extended use.
Yeah, it's a huge hurdle they haven't cleared yet.
So as cool as floating holograms sound, if it gives me a migraine and I can't even read my text messages on a sunny day, are we still years away from this actually replacing the smartphone screen? I mean, the Audio First models really seem to be the only viable reality for the immediate future.
That is a highly accurate assessment of the current landscape. The form factor of everyday glasses clearly points to the eventual extinction of the smartphone, but the visual display technology still requires a long runway of development before it matches the reliability and comfort of the audio-first interfaces we analyze today.
Okay, so if you're listening to this and trying to figure out how to navigate this rapidly shifting market, how do we synthesize the Tech and Garage verdict based on actual purchasing logic?
It really just comes down to your specific lifestyle and how you intend to use the tool.
Right. So if you are a content creator, a vlogger, or someone who needs to record long, uninterrupted stretches of your life, the Xiaomi Smart Glasses at $278 are the undisputed choice.
Without a doubt. The combination of solid-state vacuum-packed batteries and graphene heat dissipation provides a 45-minute recording limit that simply cannot be matched by the competition right now.
But if you are a coder, a heavy trader, or just a power user who fundamentally despises closed corporate ecosystems, Raykid is your command center.
Absolutely. For $299, you get an ultralight device with the root-level authority to install GPT-5, DeepSeek, or whatever the most powerful AI model is tomorrow, fed directly into your cochlea via bone conduction.
However, if you are a casual user who prioritizes fashion, flawless build quality, perfect camouflage, and just seamless integration with your existing social media accounts, the Ray-Ban Metagen 2 at $379 remains the safest, most refined, and socially acceptable choice.
Most people on the street will have no idea you are wearing a cybernetic device.
Which is the goal of invisibility. The definitive big picture takeaway from our deep dive today is that humanity is finally reclaiming its natural line of sight. The era of walking through the world while staring down at a glowing rectangle in your hands is rapidly terminating.
It's over.
It is. Smart glasses are stepping in right now to replace wireless earbuds, and that is merely the first domino to fall in the complete retirement of the smartphone.
As the source material notes, the initial strategy was to build the glasses first and then inject the technology. Meta found the aesthetic formula, but companies like Xiaomi and Rakid are already dismantling the throne by aggressively patching the thermal limitations and unlocking those software bottlenecks.
Right. These devices are no longer experimental tech demos. They are the new baseline for human-computer interaction.
Exactly.
Which brings me back to an incredible declaration made in the Tech and Garage text. They said, the matrix is no longer in your pocket, it is on your face.
That's a powerful way to put it.
It really is, and I want to leave you with a thought to mull over. If our primary connection to the digital world is now being processed mere millimeters from our corneas, if our reality is constantly augmented, translated, and analyzed from the literal second we open our eyes in the morning, how do we ever truly disconnect?
It really shifts from being a passive reality to an active physical choice.
Exactly. Think about those old desktop monitors we talked about at the beginning. If you wanted a break, you could simply stand up and walk out of the room. The digital world stayed on the desk.
You could just walk away.
Right. But with these everyday smart glasses deeply integrated into our senses, the off switch requires literally blinding yourself to the digital layer. It makes you wonder, as this technology becomes ubiquitous, will seeing the unedited, raw physical world eventually become a luxury? A quiet, disconnected space that only a few choose to afford. Something to think about the next time you put on a pair of shades.